Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game, live at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery today here in Marathon Village. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos back at the studio. I'm sad he's not with us today because he would like this place. He'd be walking around waving at people like he did in Key West.
Yes, he is our gopher on the love boat, Dr. Crane. The best.
Yes. What's up, JoJo? How you doing?
Oh, it's good, man. What a beautiful place, man. I hardly ever get over to Marathon Village, but maybe I need to get some more because Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery here, it's packed. Food's good. It's a good time.
We'll be telling you more about this. They got a pop-up menu for the holidays with a bunch of different holiday spirits, I guess is what
spirits,
I was trying to say.
Okay.
Including one called Meemaw's House, which that hits close to home because I always went to Meemaw's House for
Did
Christmas.
You?
Yeah.
It would make that perfect if they had Nani on there, right, Dr. Crane?
Yeah, that would. That would be good.
Hey, might as well, right? Add her along to the equation.
What's that?
I said add her along to the equation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. So, yeah, excited to be here today. They did it. Vanderbilt has landed a five-star recruit. Signed, sealed, delivered. Jared Curtis flips from Georgia, which he confirmed late last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now signed with the Commodores. His high school coach at Nashville Christian, Jeff Brothers, will join us at 1 o'clock as they get ready to take on USJ for the state title.
Former Vanderbilt player himself. I love Jeff Brothers. Guy, such a good coach. So we're thinking that in a span of an hour last night, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times for Vanderbilt football. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Because you find out you're not in the playoff.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you get a five-star number two, three recruit in the country to flip from Georgia to your school. So it's a bittersweet evening.
Yeah. I love now I'm seeing – and look, I don't know if I completely disagree with this, that some people are saying that Ole Miss should not be in the playoff because their coach is gone. So if you make a coaching change, they should be kicked out.
It's in the byline.
Yeah.
It's in the official, but it said that should go into consideration for something that happens, which I just think is awful because you're penalizing the kids
right.
for this.
Right.
You're penalizing. They had nothing to do with Lane Kiffin leaving. And all that's coming out now, all the lies – all the perceived lies, all the things that he said and didn't say.
All the things we knew would come out.
And the players were like, he never said that, didn't tell us goodbye. He told us this and that and lied about that. It happens every time. But as far as Vanderbilt, I mean, it's tough. I mean, they played their tails off to get into the playoff, but it just wasn't enough. And now,
are they – okay, forget the automatic qualifiers and all the rules. Are the Vanderbilt Commodores one of the 12 best teams in the country?
Yes.
I agree.
Should they have gotten to the playoffs? Yes. But the way it's set up, they were screwed. And there's nothing they could do about it. Nothing.
Yep. I love that, you know, Diego's tweeting at Donald Trump about making an executive order. I think we would laugh because it would help Vanderbilt if Trump came out and did that. But I would also say stay out of this.
White sitting in the group text earlier. What if Vanderbilt gets in and gets bounced out by James Madison? They're like, what? But that's the way they had set it up. And wanted to honor a group of five team to get into the college football playoffs, and I understand that.
I get it.
But, you know, you said something last year that really stuck with me about group of five.
There's the first.
Group of five and power four, that the group of five should have their own world.
Yep.
Right, and they've shown they can't compete in the playoff. I mean, Liberty got boat raced. Who was in it last year, Group of Five? I don't remember.
Boise State.
Boise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got out, right? Didn't Oregon go? Somebody went to Boise State and beat them.
Penn State, I believe.
Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at you, Dr. Crane.
Yeah, and then Cincinnati a few years ago, which, you know, now they've moved to the Big 12.
Yeah.
So they are in the
– right.
Power Five.
So they've
Power
shown,
Five.
And I hate that because I'm a big believer in lower level schools. But when you get this with Vanderbilt, when they're 10-2, and obviously get there, and don't come at us today, in Tennessee fans, you're famous for this in the last week. Well, you should have beat Texas. Really, we know that. We know and they know that too, and they know they should have beat Alabama. But still, to go 10-2 in the SEC is impressive.
If Tennessee fans start that crap with me, then I'll just respond with, well, you should have beaten Alabama, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, and who else did they lose to? Or is that it?
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Georgia.
Yeah. You should have beaten them.
Right. Oh, you're right.
But our quarterback left.
Well, that's
so we didn't have a quarterback.
Well, I've heard nobody complain about that because they all couldn't stand him.
I know, but they probably would do that.
Well, they couldn't stand him and get out of there, but at the same
time.
Some
of them would probably do that.
I mean, you look at a 10-2 Vanderbilt team that is just – I mean, they lost by 3 at Texas and played Alabama tough. They still lost. I understand that. But the fact that Oklahoma refused to lose – I think Oklahoma screwed Vandy.
I think Oklahoma screwed Vandy.
Because they went to Tennessee and won. They went to Alabama and won. They ended up at 10-2. After getting – Ole Miss pounded them at home. Texas took them down. The other 10, they won the game. So, I hate it for Vandy. But that's just the way it is. It's laid out.
Here's the other thing, too. I know that people, you know, the committee, and there are going to be people that try and deny this. Don't tell me there's not brand bias either.
Yeah.
Because I think there is.
Of course there is.
I mean, you're going to – the committee's going to sit there going, well, Miami's a bigger brand, so we'd probably rather have Miami. Or Oklahoma is a bigger brand, so we'd probably rather have them.
Did I see that – Notre Dame was ranked ahead of Miami.
They are. They're 10th.
Absolutely unfair. Miami beat you.
I know.
Do we not do head-to-head anymore?
No.
Head-to-head should be the first thing that you figure out.
Yep.
I beat you, you're out. You beat me, I'm out. Head-to-head should be vastly more important than what it is right now. That's it. Bottom line.
615-737-1025 is the phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is our question of the day,
Jim? Well, it's simple. We're going to do it. Should Vanderbilt have been in the college football playoffs? And I want to hear the yes, and I'm really curious to hear the no. Why you think Vanderbilt should not have been in the college football playoffs? This is one day only. We could talk about it, and after day, it's over. But I really want to hear why you think Vanderbilt did not deserve to get into the college football playoff. I'm so curious about this because I've been going back and forth and they're like, yeah, they should get in. And then people are like, well, the group of five. But we know the group of five. That's already part of the deal they got going in right now. So it's tough, man. But also, let me ask you this.
Our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ArriesTactical.com.
So Tennessee got in the playoff last year and got beat by Ohio State, and they were done, right?
They got boat raced.
Yeah. Now Vanderbilt, and follow me, Vandy fans, now you get to go to a bowl game. You get to celebrate for 4 or 5 days. Tennessee last year went and got beat. They had not – and was over with. And no bowl game, not talked about, done. And I get it that you're in the playoff, but now – I think Vanderbilt knows to make the most out of this. You deserved a vacation, got a vacation. You got one more shot to shove it in their face how you deserve. And I hope it is Michigan. I hope they beat Michigan 65-0. They finish the season 11-2.
I would love if it's Michigan. But, I mean, I'm just curious how they're going to – like if Georgia boat races Alabama and then Alabama has 3 losses, you know, are they going to –
But you lost it in the conference championship.
I know.
They created this. It was so easy when it was 1985 when just the AP and the UPI picked the teams to go and it was over and done with.
Well, there wasn't a playoff. So
no, that's why it was just so easy.
Yeah.
And people griped about it the whole time. And then it happened. I think the 03, was it 03 in LSU? No, Auburn. It was 03 when Auburn was undefeated and USC was undefeated and all the consternation between everybody, what was going on that – put like we need to finally get a playoff, and now you've got this chaos. But it's every year. The 13-14 team is going to gripe because they should be in, and people are mad that the group of five is in. We knew the group of five was in back in August. I get all that. So nothing to do now. Complaining does nothing. But I want to hear why you think Vanderbilt should or should not be in the playoff.
Justin in Greenbrier says they do head-to-head because they put Texas ahead of Vanderbilt, but only when it's convenient. Lenny says they do head-to-head unless it's Vanderbilt.
Right?
Devin and Dixon, yes, they should be in. That simple. And Tennessee fans need to shut up. Just shut up. Y'all got drug out by y'all's own stadium and beat like the redheaded stepchild. Take a seat on the couch. Have fun in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Let me ask you this. If Pavia wins the Heisman, does that help not making the playoff?
Yeah. Yes, because Vanderbilt can say something Tennessee can't.
That's going to drive my Tennessee fans, friends.
And that's the truth.
Insane.
They will say, hey, we got a Heisman winner and you don't. I mean, that's 100%.
Do you think he wins?
No.
I think he does.
I think he should, but I don't think he does.
I think he does.
Look,
I really do.
I think he should win, and I think they should be in the playoff. All bias aside, I'm taking the gold glasses off, but they won't be. But I don't think either will happen. I think they'll get the Citrus Bowl or the Gator Bowl or whatever Tampa's bowl is called, ReliaQuest Bowl. And that's great, and that's a huge accomplishment, but I think that's what it'll be.
That's fine. I mean, you play, you got there. I mean, all you can do now is go and win.
If they were, Tennessee or Alabama or Auburn, I think we'd be having a different conversation. But that's what I think. I think brand bias is in play. Yes, should have beaten Texas, should have beaten Alabama. We can sit here and argue all day about quality wins, but – quality losses only seem to come up when it's convenient, too. I mean, look at Tennessee. They beat Tennessee by how much?
21.
At their place.
Yeah.
Right. And then look at, some of the other teams that beat Tennessee in the margin of victory. I mean, there's something to be said there. But then they're going to get penalized because they had to go to overtime with Auburn, which is – like, to me, a win's a win. You have 2 losses and 10 wins.
Yeah, I just think Oklahoma screwed this all up. Take Oklahoma out of this. Vanderbilt's in, I think.
Yeah,
I think they're in over BYU. Nobody – I mean, look, Ole Miss, A&M rolling through the seasons. Georgia was good. Alabama is what it is. Now, Texas fighting there, but Oklahoma's the one that nobody counted on. And good for Oklahoma. Oh, I hope Oklahoma gets in there and runs the table. Just runs the table.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted Venables out of there, even some Oklahoma fans, even after the Texas game. I don't think Texas deserves to be in there at all. But somehow they'll probably slide in there.
I love that there's also this push to have Vanderbilt Miami play this weekend. there's like this push on message boards to have them play a get-in game. And of course, Dr. Crane sends us the bylaws that you can only play the 13th game if it takes place in Hawaii or Alaska. So, Vandy, Miami need to go to Hawaii and play that game.
I'd love to hop on the charter, go to Alaska and play some far-reaching place up there.
Could you imagine if they did that? That would be hilarious. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're Nelson's Greenbrier today here in Marathon Village. We'll have more on this coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here at Nelson's Greenbrier, located at 1414 Clinton Street here in Nashville. You can celebrate the season the Tennessee Whiskey Way at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. They have a home for the holidays drink menu that you can check out as well, which includes Candy Cane Forest, which is Nelson Brothers rye whiskey, mint syrup, and peppermint. That sounds really
good. Grab you one of those right now, buddy.
We might do that.
Hey, question
for
you.
The show could get more interesting if we did
that. It could. And the food here at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery.
Yeah, you had the, Duck Reuben?
The Duck Reuben, right? Nice. Not to be confused with Dubin Ruck. It's a big different thing that we got here. Let me ask you this. Does Vanderbilt deserve to get in over Notre Dame?
Yes.
I'm pulling up Notre Dame's little schedule here. Also, later in the show, we're getting into some of you that attacked me last night on social media, which I laughed about Pavia. Can you not hear me?
It was a little off.
Okay. That's the next, my autobiography. He's a little off. About stats when it comes to Pavia and the Heisman. We'll deal with that later on. I don't want to get into it right now
because I've got some things to say to you guys about stats in the Heisman. So Notre Dame dropped the first two to Miami and A&M. Now, they lost to Miami by three, A&M by a point. But then they steamrolled everybody else, but only played two ranked teams the rest of the way.
Yep.
USC beat them by 10. Pittsburgh beat them by 20-something. But do they deserve to be in over Vanderbilt? I don't know.
Here's the other thing, too. When you look at, and this goes for any team, when they beat, at the time they beat a team, should it not count for something if that team was ranked at the time?
Absolutely.
Like, I get so tired of this retroactive, well, that win doesn't look as good now. Like, it doesn't matter. At the time it did.
So they went 2-2 versus top 25 teams. Lost to Miami, lost to A&M. And look, by three and by one. I'm a guy, you lost. Whether it's by a point or 50, you lost the game.
Right.
But, you know, when they beat Syracuse 70-7, don't tell me there was a purpose behind that.
Right. Was South Carolina ranked when Vandy beat them there?
I thought they were. I'm going to go
feel like they were.
Put up the schedule, you'll see if they are or not.
Well, it doesn't show them ranked anymore on Vandy's schedule, what I'm looking at now.
Okay.
Maybe on ESPN it does, but let's see.
So that's an interesting question.
Yes, they were. So this is how it went at the time. South Carolina was the 11th ranked team in the country. Vandy beat them there. Should that not count for something?
I think so.
LSU was number 10 at the time. Vandy beat them. Missouri was 15. Vandy beat them. Tennessee 19. So that's four ranked wins.
They went 4-2 versus the top 25.
Yep.
Notre Dame went 2-2.
Right. But people want to be like, well, the LSU win doesn't look as good now, or the Alabama loss looks worse now.
So why does Notre Dame get a pass?
Because they're Notre Dame. Again, it's brand bias.
There we go. Yeah, and they say there's not, there is. So Vanderbilt,
Jeremy in Clarksville, quality losses only count for Notre Dame.
Right?
Yep.
Or if you're trying to plead for your job.
Sure.
We lost by one. So you take Notre Dame out of this. Why is nobody griping about Notre Dame being there? Should not be. Vanderbilt's has a better quality schedule wins than Notre Dame did.
I 100% agree with you, but the committee doesn't.
We need to figure out how to fight somebody. I'm not sure who.
I mean, like, we need to be – what Vandy needs – like, BYU. BYU has – they beat Utah, which was 23. They lost to Texas Tech. That's their only – that's their only ranked win. So you're going to put an 11-1.
Their only ranked
win. And granted, I get it. Texas Tech and BYU have to play for the Big 12.
Right.
But if BYU loses, they should not be in.
Oh, I totally agree with that. So then what happens with if Duke wins on Saturday? I mean, this is so chaotic that it actually makes my head hurt.
Yeah.
But I'm more pissed off about Notre Dame and Vanderbilt.
And okay, so here's the big one. Should Texas be ahead of Vanderbilt? They beat them head-to-head. They lost to number 3 Ohio State, at Ohio State, and then at Georgia, number 5. And then they lost to Florida.
That's the one. They lost to a bad Florida team.
Should they be? I mean, to me, if they have three losses and Vandy has two losses, Vandy should get in.
Yes, but what if? Here's a hypothetical. What if Texas had scheduled, I don't know, Murray State for game one?
Well,
then they're sitting there 10-2. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's like that's where you pull the importance of who they play.
You can't play that game. I mean, you can only go on the schedule in which you
correct
play.
So if I go 7-5 but I lost 4 of my 5 games to top 10 teams by 3 points, 10 points, but I say, hey, I played this schedule, man, I played this I lost to 5 teams in our schedule, and 4 of those I won, we played 5, I lost 4 of those, does that matter?
Yeah.
No, it, I mean, you lost.
Yeah, right. It doesn't.
You still lost the games.
What do you think of this, Wes and Hermanage? It's not just brand bias, it's coach bias too. If Marcus Freeman was coaching Vandy, then Vandy gets in. They are punishing Vandy for being Vandy, and they are punishing Clark Lee for not being Marcus Freeman. It's a complete hunk of runny feces. I disagree with that. I think if Clark Lee was the head coach at Notre Dame, they'd be in.
Which he almost was.
Which he almost was, right. So, I mean, like, I don't know if I completely – I just think they're looking at it as, what's Vanderbilt doing here? Like, I really do.
Because we were for a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, if this is a terrible analogy, I don't know. Okay, let's say you got shot into outer space and were gone for, like, 2 years.
Right.
And you just landed back on the planet today.
All right.
You're going to look at the rankings and go, what the hell is Vanderbilt doing here?
Absolutely.
Like, you are. Like, yeah. there's no question.
We started our show on August of 24 thinking, Clark Lee's on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Remember, we had to apologize to Kevin Ingram.
Right.
We made Kevin Ingram tell Clark Lee that we're sorry for all that.
I think we did apologize to Clark Lee when he sat down with us at SEC meeting.
We sure did.
And hey, man.
And he laughed. He said, oh, I heard it, too.
Yeah.
Here's the Notre Dame thing, and I'll bring it up. I brought it up before. The Notre Dame thing drives me crazy because it goes back to Paul Hornung in 56 when he beat Johnny Majors for the Heisman Trophy. Notre Dame was 2-8 that year. 2-8. Tennessee was 9-1 or 8-2 or 8-1-1 something. And Majors, talking to people at the time, say there was no doubt that Majors was the best player in the country at that time. Hornung was really good. Paul Hornung wins the Heisman Trophy over Johnny Majors because of the Notre Dame bias.
Right.
A lot of the sports writers back then were Catholic and Northern, part of this, and that's been no secret. They voted him in to win. So now you look at Notre Dame, who should not be ahead of Vanderbilt. Nobody's talking about this. This is driving me crazy.
All right. Wes in Clarksville, well, after Vandy beat these teams, what rank did teams they beat after the loss? It doesn't matter. So this goes back. If you're not going to account where a team was ranked at the time they lost, then what's the point of rankings?
Correct.
What's the point of them?
You're right.
Then don't do them. Like, let's just
get
rid of them. Get rid of them completely. If it's not going to count for something, because it only counts for something when it's convenient to the narrative of whoever's speaking.
Yeah,
I mean that's really what it counts as. Kenny the mailman wants to weigh in. Kenny, what's up?
Hello, good friends. Y'all are going to love this. I was just told if Pavia lucks up and wins the Heisman, that would be the worst Heisman winner ever. I scratched my head and said, isn't that sort of like being married to the ugliest Miss Universe ever? That's still pretty good.
Right. That's a good point.
I'm not going to let this committee ruin this year for me. Actually, they're just like a Monty Python skit. They just need to walk in real funny and then say what they want to say. Wah, 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 wah. 2 minutes later, say the exact opposite, and we all have a big laugh. But here's something bittersweet, Chase, and I want you to think about it. You know, they took the big bowl names and stuck them on the playoff games, right?
Yeah.
The Orange Sugar. But they're not bowl games. Those are just intense playoff games to keep going for the championships. Bowl games are where you have tight contests and go to Disney for a year. I wish they would have left those names and let the teams that didn't get to go to at least say, can you imagine how happy we'd have been if we'd have said, hey, Vandy's going to the Cotton Bowl. I got news today that the Citrus has already passed them over. The Gator Bowl wants UT because of the number of the fans, and they're going to get stuck in something called the Quest Bowl. I don't know if that's the old Tangerine Bowl or what, but, you know, it's just your name brand, how many tickets you can sell, and going forth, if they string 3 or 4 of these years together, it'll be great. Y'all have a great day. Love listening to y'all.
Thank you,
Kenny. We appreciate it. 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your calls and texts coming up next. Chase and Big Joe live at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday at Nelson's Greenbrier here in Marathon Village area.
Oh, the Duck Reuben is, for those asking, which is
the burger.
Two of you. The Duck Reuben is officially flown.
Okay.
Into my belly.
I almost said inherited that, but you inhaled that.
Inhaled it because it was so good.
Maybe you did inherit it. I don't know.
Somebody asked me about Oklahoma's schedule and said, does it matter at the time that Texas beat them, Texas was unranked. Now Texas is ranked. Does that matter? And my head hurts. I'm trying to figure that out if it matters or not.
Man, I don't know.
Right? I don't. So they lost to Texas 23-6. Texas was unranked at the time. Now Texas is ranked. But I don't know. But Oklahoma finished at 10-2. They were 1-0, beat Michigan, beat Auburn. Auburn's ranked 22nd at the time. Lost to Ole Miss, was 8th. Beat Tennessee, beat Alabama, beat Missouri. So they go 5-1. Oklahoma does.
Sure,
let's put Notre Dame up there.
These are two funny texts. 1137, Vanderbilt to the Music City Bowl versus the Titans.
Titans would beat them by 70.
I agree. 3592, this is a good one. Hey, fellas, UT fans can take comfort in the fact that even though we didn't beat Vanderbilt on the field, we looked so horrible that it devalued Vanderbilt's victory enough for the committee to stagnate
right?
their ranking and potentially cost them a spot in the playoff.
Yeah, even who won that one?
Even in a loss, the Vols screwed Vandy. Ha, ha, ha.
He's not wrong, right?
He's not. Jeremiah wants to weigh in on Vandy. Jeremiah, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I love listening to y'all, man. Y'all keep us up on what all's going on, and, man, y'all keep us smiling, too. Well, I have a question for you about this college stuff. You've got a quarterback, you got a halfback, and you got a fullback, but there's only ever one time been a three quarterback. Do you know who that was?
No.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Hey, y'all have a good one, man.
All right. Thank you, Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, I'm just curious. When you thought we got on the phone, Jeremiah thought, I got him. This is the one that's going to win him over, man. Thank you, Jeremiah. The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Again, them being in, just once you compare all the stats and everything, hell yeah, we got Vanderbilt bias because we're seeing it because it applies to this as well. So when they go to the let's give them a good bowl, Outback Bowl, whatever is in Tampa now. Not the Gasparilla Bowl, but the one that plays on New Year's Eve. And have Clark have us come down and hang out with him for a few days.
615-737-1025. Dave says, any team that gets in with a worse record should be ashamed to even be in there unless they win out, and they should be even more ashamed if they lose in the first round, proving more that they should not have been in front of teams with better records like Vanderbilt having a better record than Texas.
That's a lot to tie in there.
Yeah.
So, again, what happens if Duke wins? I mean, isn't the ACC guaranteed a spot? SMU, yeah. I mean, Clemson got it last year.
Yeah.
And SMU got an at-large part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that all ties in. I mean, it's so confusing now. Why do we have conferences?
Why do we have a lot of things? I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. Thomas in Nashville, Kenny hit the nail on the head. I'm a huge UT fan and don't shy away from that. But I have the utmost respect for what Clark Lee and Diego Pavia have done for the football team, and I've enjoyed watching them be competitive here in my hometown. But like Kenny said, if they can string a couple more years like this together, no one will be able to deny them. It's a shame they won't get a chance this year, but they can earn the right not to be denied. That's from Thomas on a car phone. That's my thing. The motivation needs to be, if they don't get in this year, and they're losing a lot, I mean, they're going to have to re-rack this. But if they can turn around and like, play the portal, and there's guys in the portal that are like, hey, I want to go there. I want to keep this going. They got the number one recruit in the country. Like, let's go. And they re-rack this and go at it again next year. Then, yeah, then you got something. The hard part is that Diego doesn't get the playoff game because he's the one that started this in motion.
Well, you're right. I'm looking at Vandy's schedule for 2026.
It is. I don't want the academic calendar, Vanderbilt. All right, so Austin Peay, Delaware, NC State. Those are the first three games. At Auburn, at Florida, at Georgia, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State.
Good Lord.
And then Alabama, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Tennessee at home.
But it says date to be announced.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's just the schedule.
So Tennessee, Ole Miss has a new coach. Arkansas has got a new coach. Kentucky's got a new coach. Florida's got a new coach. Auburn's got a new coach. So 5 of the 12 games have new coaches.
Yep, you're right. All right, so our buddy Connor Newt says this. If Duke wins the ACC, two G5s would get in since they have to have the top 5 best conference winners record-wise. So it would be JMU and the winner of the American, so either Tulane or North Texas.
What?
That's going to piss me off even more.
Is that right? Connor's smart, so I believe that.
I've heard that. Like, I've heard it. It's just because you're the ACC doesn't guarantee you a spot. It's top five conference winners, like record. So, like, the conference champions with the best records, the top five get in.
I am. So, I went to McGavick. Explain this to me like I'm five.
Okay. So, let's say you have the SEC champion is
Georgia.
11-1.
Okay.
All right. The Big Ten champion, Ohio State or Indiana, let's say Ohio State, 12-0.
Okay.
13-0.
Right.
Whatever there. Or Georgia would be 12-1.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. The Big 12, Texas Tech, what are they?
12-1.
12-1. All right. Then the fourth one is the group of five, so JMU.
You left out ACC.
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Because I'm saying Duke wins. If Duke wins, then they're going to be below two conference champions. That's what Connor's saying.
Okay.
Because their record would be worse than those two G5 champions.
God, this is insane.
And then how does the Pac-12 factor in next year? Do they – so basically they're saying that the American champion – and whatever JMU's in. Is that Conference USA?
No, it's Sun Belt.
Sun Belt. All right, so the Sun Belt champion and the American champion have better records than the ACC champion, so they would get in. It's five conference champions with the best records.
So they drop out, so it doesn't matter Power Four.
Yeah, then. So like if the SEC champion had seven wins, the SEC would be left out. And Sankey would bitch like no other.
Holy cow, man. This is nuts. So, absolute nuts.
So that's how I look at it. But look, Vandy's schedule is not easy next year.
No, not at all.
You got to go to, I mean, let's forget what this year was with any of these teams. You got to go to Auburn. You got to go to Florida. You got to go to Georgia. You got to go to Davis-Wade, which is not an easy place to play.
Nope.
Then you got Bama here, Tennessee here. Ole Miss here, we'll see what they are. Arkansas, see what they are. So, and like you mentioned, Auburn's got a new coach, Florida's got a new coach, Kentucky's got a new coach, Arkansas's got a new coach, Ole Miss has a new coach, and Tennessee has Heupel.
Yep. Tennessee fans, real quick, Heupel has flipped a four-star edge rusher. Carter Gooden, who was going to UCLA, is now signing with Tennessee. Evidently, he's a really, really good pass rusher. Too bad you didn't have him last weekend versus Vanderbilt. So there you go, Tennessee Vols. There's your good news today. Carter Gooden has flipped from UCLA to Tennessee football today.
TD from Nashville, since Pavia isn't winning, going to the Heisman, why don't you put him and Vandy on the most televised bowl, whatever it is, out there so people can see him perform his last dance in front of a nationwide television? I mean, they probably will do that.
I mean, what's the highest? Are they in a New Year's Day 6 bowl? No. I don't know what that means anymore.
It doesn't mean anything because those are playoff games.
Right. It's all changed, man. I guess the Tampa, the one, the ReliaQuest Outback Bowl, whatever it is good. Yeah. The Gator Bowl is good. Just I love the Music City Bowl. Vanderbilt does not belong here in Nashville.
I just want what I want to have happen is Tennessee – go to the Citrus Bowl so we can play the Spurrier. You can't spell citrus without UT. I think that's one of the all-time best.
That and the time. FSU line. Free Shoes University when they got in trouble for getting sneakers at the mall.
That was good. Coming up next, we'll tell you a little bit more about what we're doing here at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday as we're hanging out at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery and having a great time. The food is awesome. 1414 Clinton Street here in Nashville. You can sip, tour, taste, repeat at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, minutes from downtown. I mean, we're right by downtown. And we brought in our man, Mike Wolf. That was why we had the Hungry
That's right.
Like the Wolf.
Named
that was
after
a good
this
one.
Guy.
My yeah. walk-up song.
That is Let's your walk-up go. Song. Your official title is?
So food and beverage manager here at the distillery, running the restaurant and bar and
Well, you're doing a great job because the food's fantastic.
Awesome.
So I had the burger. He inhaled the duck Reuben, which was very good. You got a special home for the holidays drink menu that'll run through January 4th with so many different holiday-themed beverages that you can come in and get. I mean, you have the distillery that you can check out and then sit here in the restaurant. So
yeah,
this is perfect.
You can do a tour. Our tours are amazing. We just got voted the number three tour by USA Today in the country for distilleries.
Oh, so you made the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Well done.
Yeah, right? The Final Four.
Vanderbilt's trying to do that. So.
Yeah, right? It's been pretty impressive to watch them. But, yeah, you can do a tour. You can hang at the bar,
yeah,
have food in the restaurant. We do supper club every Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So, and you can book all that through Talk.
Okay. That's easy enough. What's is there – one thing that's like the most popular thing on the menu, or
so you got the burger. The burger is pretty popular. Okay. I'd say the two that you got, and then we also have a short rib grilled cheese.
Oh,
that's pretty insane. Also very popular. We have a steak frites that's really good, and then we do a pork schnitzel that kind of goes German meets Nashville.
Yeah,
because it's a hot pork schnitzel.
Okay,
so it's like kind of like hot chicken meets pork schnitzel.
So basically, anything you're looking for.
Yeah,
yes.
Right?
Fine. We got you.
So you got – this is the season for parties too, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you can book parties. You know, we have tons of holiday parties going all the way through January. So you can hit up our events team. You can call us here at the distillery, and we'll get you hooked up.
What I like about this, it's unique. I mean, it's there's the bar. There's the distillery back there. I mean, it's all here. I mean, I don't see this any – there might be someplace, but this is very cool. It's set in this Marathon Village as well.
It is. It's a really nice area. There's tons of parking out here, which is getting rare in Nashville.
Yes.
We have a huge parking lot across the street. Street parking is free in this neighborhood, which is becoming pretty rare in town. But this is, you know, I might be biased, but this is definitely one of the most beautiful distilleries I've been in. And the restaurant and bar, it's a serious restaurant and bar program. Our bartenders are incredible. We make amazing, you know, Manhattans, Old Fashions, Whiskey Sours, all that good stuff.
Do you have a of this holiday, the holiday cocktails? Is there one that just stands out?
Yeah, there's a few.
I love an old fashioned, so that one caught my eye.
Yeah, the spiced date old fashioned is really amazing. We have a whiskey nog. We make that eggnog by hand, and it is incredible. And then probably the Santa baby.
Okay. Yeah.
You get it in a nice Santa Claus tiki mug. We got to get guys one of those before you head out.
Yeah.
But it's a good kind of Christmas on vacation vibe.
Well done. Mike Wolf is with us. I'm going to say you're the chief bottle washer here. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
At Nelson's Green Bar Distillery. I like that I can see the chefs, right?
He's been waving at them.
Yeah. I mean, they're right here. They're watching prepare. I mean, it's all like one big giant family.
Yeah, you can hear, you know, all the off-color remarks that they make. It's pretty funny.
Oh, that's
it's a great crew.
Go back to the whiskey nog again.
Yeah, so that's you know, our eggnog. We use like five different kinds of whiskey. So we use some of our cask finishes, our cognac cask, our Calvados cask, some of our cask strength Tennessee whiskey, a little bit of rye. So we blend all that together because a lot of eggnogs, you know, you're going to use like rum, cognac, maybe some whiskey. Ours is all whiskey, but it's incredible.
My assistant, who's off camera here, would like to try some of that during the break.
Oh, we can make that happen. You bet.
Okay.
Free refills for you guys.
I think we've decided the last hour of the show, we should just see where it goes.
Right.
Yeah. Sample some stuff.
Yeah, so if you hear any slurring, it's not. It is my fault, actually.
Right, it is your fault with that. How long has this been here?
So the distillery's been here almost 15 years, but the restaurant and bar has only been here about 2.5 years.
Okay.
So we got this whole area got renovated about 2.5 years ago, put in the 25-seat bar, a couple of event spaces, then Mercantile is all new. So it's pretty cool.
Wouldn't this started like 100 years ago and then something like the great-grandson founded it?
Yeah, it was the great-great-great-grandson of the original founder who's right up there on the wall. So it goes back to the 1860s. And if you want to go flash forward to like the 1880s, this was one of the biggest selling whiskeys in the world. It was in all 50 states. It was outselling another famous Tennessee whiskey brand 5-1.
Interesting.
So it's a pretty incredible story. And in the world of whiskey and bourbon, there's a lot of stories that are not true. So this one's interesting because it's actually true. So, once Prohibition hit Tennessee early, you know, the brand struggled to kind of last. It did last till the early 40s, and then just didn't have any family or trusted people to kind of take it over and get through, you know, that tough part of World War II and all that. So the brand went away, the distillery went away, and then it was the great-great-great-grandsons who found out their family history in the mid-2000s up in Greenbrier. And they were like, is that our family? Wow, it is. And they restarted the brand.
Great. I mean, it's a great story.
It really
is.
That's
awesome.
Because it was dormant for 75 years.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Very cool.
It's pretty amazing.
Again, if somebody wants to get reservations or set up a tour, what do they need to do?
Yeah, just all on Talk, T-O-C-K. Great booking site. So on there you can book the tours, you can book lunch in the restaurant, you can book our supper club, and all the special event programming that we have. And then we also have a program where you can bottle your own whiskey.
Oh,
I'd love
better.
To show you guys. And yeah. Those are always like single barrels, limited cask finishes. We're one of the only distilleries in the country where you can bottle three different whiskeys at the same time.
What explain cask real quick. I'm pretty stupid.
Yeah. So if you know, when you make whiskey, you age it, you have to age it. If you want to call it bourbon or Tennessee whiskey, have to age it in a charred new, brand new, American oak barrel. So what we do is we age our whiskeys for, you know, anywhere from, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 years. Some of our single barrels have been 10 years. And then you might take that out and say another cask that held cognac or held sherry or Madeira, anything like that. We'll put whiskey back in there, and that extra cask will kind of flavor it and season it. So we do a lot of those special releases here. And that's what kind of makes the site unique, because anytime you come here, there's going to be whiskeys that you're not able to buy in stores or
right.
not able to buy, you know, for very long.
Fascinating.
Very, very cool. Mike, thanks so much for having us. This is
thanks for being
fantastic,
here, guys.
And we'll keep getting the word out.
Yeah, we're honored to have you guys. So
thank you, buddy.
That is Mike Wolf here at the one and only Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. We'll have more coming in hour number two, including Jeff Brothers, Nashville Christian football coach. Next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.